Chapter 9. Following Orders. By 5:15 a.m., the other six pilots and I were at the new base, but there was no one there. Breakfast time came, but there was no breakfast. "Why don't we just fly to Crete?" I said.
"That's a good idea," David said. "Then we can get more fuel and go to Egypt. The RAF will need us there."
"Do you know what I think?" a young man called Dowding said. "I think someone wants to be able to say that the brave RAF in Greece fought until the last pilot and the last plane."
I thought Dowding was right. At about noon, a large black car drove slowly towards us. It was the Air Commodore. He was the most important RAF man in all of Greece. He held a small parcel, the same size as a book.
"This parcel," he said, "must be taken to Elefsis immediately. I want someone to fly it there now."
Nobody said anything. We were not afraid of going back to Elefsis. We were not afraid of anything. We were just tired of people telling us what to do. Finally, I said, "I'll take it." I will say yes to anything.
"Good man," said the Air Commodore. "There'll be somebody waiting for you. His name is Carter. Ask him his name before you give him the parcel. Do you understand?"
"I understand," I said.
"Carter will be the only man in the place," the Air Commodore continued. "But if you see any German planes on the ground, don't land. Get away quickly."
"Yes," I said. "Where should I go then?"
"Here. Fly straight back here," he said, giving me the parcel. "The enemy must not get this. Look after it with your life. Do you understand?"
"Yes," I said, feeling important.
"If you're shot down, make sure you burn it," the Air Commodore said.
David said,
"If he's shot down, I think it will burn with him."
"Yes," the Air Commodore said. "Now, the rest of you wait in your planes. As soon as he is back, you'll all fly together to Argos."
"What happens at Argos?" somebody asked.
"Somebody will meet you there. Then you will protect our ships in the Mediterranean Sea."
The Air Commodore pointed a finger at me.
"You," he said, "go."
I flew my Hurricane very low and very fast, and in 8 minutes I arrived at Elefsis. The parcel had important papers for Carter. He planned to stay in Greece when the Germans took the country and fight against them secretly. I flew back to Megara, and the other pilots and I went on to Argos. When we arrived at Argos later that morning, the other six pilots and I went to see the CO.
"Hello, we've arrived," we said to him.
"Good,"
the CO said.
"You'll fly tonight."
"How long will it take the Germans to find us here?" I asked the CO. He passed a hand over his eyes. He looked very tired.
"Who knows?"
he replied. "They will destroy us by tomorrow," I said. This was very brave, because you were not allowed to question your orders.
"We can't run away and leave the army with no help in the air," the CO said. "We must do our best."
We all left the CO's tent, feeling very unhappy. David and I sat under a tree on a lovely warm April afternoon. We could see the sea a long way below us. "The Germans know that we still have 7 hurricanes in Greece," I said. "They'll find us and destroy us. Then they'll have the sky all for themselves."
"Yes," said David, "and they're going to find us very quickly."
Suddenly, there was a loud noise above us, and a German plane flew over our heads. Then it turned and flew back over us a second time, and then a third time. David and I understood what this meant.
"In 30 minutes, that plane will get back to its squadron," he said. "The pilot will tell his CO where we are. The squadron will need 30 minutes to get ready, then another 30 minutes to fly back here and destroy us. This means that there will be a ground attack from a squadron of German planes in 90 minutes at 6 o'clock this evening."
"We can jump on them," David continued. "If the 7 of us wait in the air before 6 p.m, we can hit them first."
The adjutant came to see us.
"CO's orders," he said. "All 7 of you will fly over the sea this evening. You must take off at 6 p.m.
6 o'clock?
David cried.
"But that's when they'll come over."
"Who will come?"
the adjutant asked.
"German planes," David explained. "They'll attack us at 6 o'clock.
"Have you got better information than your CO?
The adjutant said. We tried to explain what we knew, but the adjutant was not listening.
"Just follow your orders," he said. "Your job is to protect the army."
"Look," I said. I was a very unimportant pilot, but I had to try to make him understand.
"Will you please ask if we can take off before 6 o'clock?
The adjutant came back 5 minutes later and shook his head.
"It's still 6 o'clock, he said.
"But where are all these ships that we're protecting?" I asked.
"I don't know," the adjutant said. "You should fly over the sea and try to find them."
Then he walked away.
"I know what I'm going to do," I said to David. "I will be in my plane with the engine running at 5:55 p.m. The minute we're allowed to go, I'll be in the air."
"I'll be behind you," said David. "But we'll be lucky if we get away before the Germans arrive."
At 5:55 p.m, David and I were in our planes, ready to take off. The other 5 planes were getting ready to join us. At 6 p.m, we were allowed to go. 10 seconds later, I was in the air, and I saw David close behind me. I looked for the other 5 hurricanes, but they were not there. We followed our orders and flew out to sea to look for the ships, but we found none. We learned later that the ships and the army were many miles to the west of us. They were attacked terribly by German planes, but we could not help them. When David and I arrived back in Argos, all we saw was smoke. Then we found the adjutant and some of the other pilots, and we learned what happened to the other 5 hurricanes. 3 others got into the air, but as the 4th pilot was taking off, the German planes arrived. They shot him down and he was killed. The last pilot jumped out of his plane and ran. The Germans then shot at everything they could see. That night, we were taken to Alexandria, where I surprised my old friends, the Peels, by knocking on their door at breakfast time. The Germans took Greece and Crete in May 1941, and then they attacked Syria and Lebanon. 80 Squadron was now needed in Haifa, in northern Palestine. Another pilot flew my new Hurricane from Egypt to Haifa for me, so I could drive myself there in my car. I was the happy new owner of a 9-year-old 1932 Morris Oxford car. My car had to cross the Suez Canal. At Ismailia, you could cross on a large base that was made of wood. It was pulled from one side of the water to the other. Before I was allowed to start the long journey across the Sinai Desert, I had to show that I had lots of fuel and drinking water. I loved that journey. I think I loved it because, for the first time in my life, I spent a day and a night without seeing another person. Few people have done that. There was a single narrow road through the desert for 200 miles, and there were no villages or houses or people. After 5 hours, my engine got too hot because of the sun. I stopped to wait for it to get colder. I knew I had to wait until the sun was gone, but I also knew that I could not drive at night because the car had no lights. Out in the desert, the night was very black. When the sun went down, it became dark almost immediately. I lay in the back of the car and slept. At first light, I drove again, and after 2 hours, before it got too hot, I arrived at the end of the Sinai Desert. I drove on through Jerusalem and Nazareth, and in the late afternoon, I arrived at Haifa. My Hurricane. My 1932 Morris Oxford car.